Today is Ascension Sunday. And so we're thinking about the day when Jesus was taken back up to heaven by the Father. So that's our focus. I have, there's some sheets on the table, there's a few more. There is a quiz and there are prizes for answers to the quiz. I won't be offended if I look out and you're looking down doing the quiz, that's absolutely fine. But when we get to that part of the service, by then you'll have missed the opportunity. So you need to do it before we get there. What else do I need to say? I'm really sorry that there's no notices. We had a little mishap. Keith threw the memory stick to me. I caught it. I put it in my pocket. Can't find it. No idea where it went. And so we have no notices today. But I do need to mention that on Saturday next week, 9 till 11, we're going to be cleaning in the church. I know that four of you have already signed up, and I know that there's a couple more of us that haven't put our names on the list who are coming. But if you want to join us next week, today's your last chance to sign up. You can still turn up, obviously, but we just won't have any biscuits for you. Here we go. Let's pray together. When Jesus was taken back into heaven, something changed. He no longer was limited by his physical body. So Jesus used to be in one place at one time, and now he can be in all places by his Holy Spirit, which is absolutely amazing. And he said these words to the disciples, "For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them." So here we are, two or three of us, more than that, Jesus is here with us. So we're going to pray a prayer that welcomes him. I'll say the words in black and we'll join together with the purple words. As you promised to be with us, Lord Jesus, we welcome you here today. Help us, Lord, to worship you, to listen to your word, to pray in faith for your world, that we might grow in our love for you and for one another. Amen. And we're going to stand, if we're able, to sing our first song, "Come People of the Risen King."
Morning star of grace.
Please be seated. I thought it would be good for us to hear the story of Ascension Day. What actually happened? So, this is in the Bible. I thought what we'd do, we'd read it from the Bible first, and then, I'll explain when we get there. So, first of all, from Luke's Gospel, you'll notice that I've knitted together two different Gospel accounts, because like any time when somebody remembers what's happened, if you've got two people who are the same thing, they remember slightly different things. And it's useful for us to hear two people's versions of the day. You'll see why. So this is Luke starting off. He said to them, Jesus, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms. So he's talking about the Old Testament. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. Oh, that's the same words again. That's called copy and paste twice. And then Matthew writes this. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And then back to Luke. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed there continually at the temple, praising God. So when Jesus went back, they worshipped him. But they also did what he told them, and they went to Jerusalem because they were waiting. Do you remember what they were waiting for? To be clothed with power from on high. So, just in case you haven't quite got the story yet, here it comes again.
After Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead, everyone was overjoyed to be with him again. And our belief was strengthened 100-fold that Jesus was the Messiah. He had overcome death.
Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?
The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
From Galilee standing here and looking up into the sky.
Jesus has been taken to heaven, but he will come back in the same way that you have seen him go.
So there we are. Did you see Jesus going up? Did you see him going up? Yeah, so did I. That was good, wasn't it? That was really cool. So when Jesus went back to be with the Father, this was, as we said last week, this was a great big declaration that Jesus is king. He is king. But it does make us wonder, what kind of king is Jesus? Because we've got a king, haven't we? We've got King Charles III, and we saw his coronation. We saw him riding in a golden coach. We saw him dressed in all his finery and all of that sort of stuff. What sort of king is Jesus? And I can come up with three answers to that question. So the three answers that I've got are Jesus is perfect. He's a perfect king. Jesus is powerful. He's a powerful king. And Jesus is present. That means he's here. He's a present king. So I thought we could think about that. So the first one is he's perfect. Now, you've had a quiz. And here we go with the answers. So just so that you, just to ramp up the excitement even further, so first place wins a packet of fudge minis. Second place wins Haribo Star Mix and Moam. That's third place, because I don't like those ones. Here we go. Are you ready? He is perfect. We're going to look at the quiz answers, but before we look at those, I just want to say, when you read the stories of Jesus, you'll notice that he's never unkind to anybody. He's never proud about himself. He's never rude. He's never selfish. He never seems to be grumpy, even when they wake him up to ask him unhelpful questions. And he's never mean, even when his best friend betrays him to his enemies. So when we say that Jesus is perfect, one of the things that's perfect about him is his character, his personality, his nature. He's just perfect. So here come the answers. So number one, loving. So I'm not going to ask you who's got that. Compassionate is number 19. Courageous is number 15. Kind is number 4. Merciful is number 12. Wise is 6. Selfless is 17. Joyful is 8. Holy is 13. Just is 10. Gracious is 11. Faithful is 5. Good is 2. Forgiving is 14. Gentle is 9. Humble is 16. Generous is 3. Honest is 18. Patient is 7. Awesome is 20. I think that's all of them. It is. That's all of them. So, did anybody get 20 out of 20? Well done. Anybody get 19 out of 20? 18. 18. I don't know what to do now. You've just become successful only, and you need to be thankful for this because of Slimming World. So here we go. There's therapy for you guys later. Okay, so where did we get to? 17, 16? I can hear a yay, but I don't know who's saying it. Here we go, 16, well done. Thomasina, that is impressive. Not least because of the reading age, the skills. Well done, I'm impressed. Oh, well that was good, wasn't it? So Jesus is perfect. All of those things are about Jesus. He's merciful. He's good. He's gentle. He's gracious. All of these things. And that last one, he's awesome. Have you ever been at the seaside and walked into the sea when the waves are quite big, not storm, but you feel them sort of lift you as they come in. Have you ever felt that? Now, do you remember when Jesus calmed the storm, the sea went flat? Now, if you've ever been at sea in a storm, you'll know that when the storm finishes, it takes a while for the sea to calm back down. It's true. You can test this in the bath. If you lay in the bath and you kick your legs and make it all wobbly, then you stop kicking your legs. It doesn't go flat immediately. But when Jesus calmed the storm, he was so awesome and powerful that he made the water stop, completely stop. That's incredible. And as you know, I used to be on submarines. And I've been at sea when it's really rough. It doesn't stop that quick. I wish it did, because I was the cook and it used to make a mess of my mushy peas. Here we go. Jesus is perfect. He's also powerful. He's powerful. Can you think of any stories about Jesus where he shows his power? Anybody got any stories that they can remember from the Bible? Yes. Lazarus, yeah. Lazarus died. He was in the grave for 3 days. Jesus came and he called him out and Lazarus came out. That is amazing power, isn't it? Yeah, any others? The woman at the well. How does he demonstrate his power there? Yeah, a different kind of power, that one, isn't it? He exercises what we would call words of knowledge or words of wisdom. He knows her past. And not only that, she tells him a little white lie and he catches her out. And he says, actually, you've had more than this number of husbands. You've had this many. And the bloke you're living with now, you're not married to. That was amazing. Yeah? Any others? Was that a hand up, Mark? Or was just waving at me? Lovely. Any others? Okay. Well, I've had longer to think about this than you, so this is not really fair. But I came up with these. He turned water into wine. He calmed the storm. He healed people, brackets the leper. He gave people back their sight, brackets Bartimaeus. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He cast out evil spirits. He fed 5,000 people with just a few loaves and fishes. He did amazing, amazing things. Absolutely amazing things. So Jesus is powerful. Now, because he's perfect, his powerfulness is different to the way we see powerfulness exercised in the rest of the world. We can see powerful kings and powerful leaders of nations, and they use their power in bad ways. For instance, at the moment, we see a lot on the news about Russia and Ukraine. Well, the leader of Russia, Mr. Putin, has used his power in a bad way and invaded another country. Jesus wasn't like that. Jesus didn't operate like that. If you went back in history, you could come to someone like Hitler or Napoleon. We could go on and on, couldn't we? Leaders who abuse their power, but Jesus doesn't abuse his power. He uses his power to bless and to bring about his good and loving purpose for your life, my life, and for the world. He is powerful. Jesus is powerful. And the last one, you'll notice they all begin with P. And the last one, Jesus is present. Do you remember the words I read to you right at the beginning of the service? Anybody remember? How many people do you need to know that Jesus is with you? Well, the promise is that where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. But the truth is that even if you're on your own, Jesus is with you. You don't need three people. He doesn't only turn up if three or more of you gather. But what he has promised is that when three people gather, he is with them. He is with them. Did you notice something else we read? When we read the two accounts of Jesus being taken into heaven, he said something about else about being with us. Did you get that?
Did you get it? He's going to be with us until the very end of the age. So sometimes people say, oh, well, you know, everything that happened in the Bible happened such a long time ago, it doesn't really matter now. But it does, because Jesus is still with us. And he's going to be with us until he comes back to the earth and the whole of the earth is renewed. And everything is brought back to the Father, shiny, new and perfect as it was meant to be. I'm going to be with you to the very end of the age. And then the last one, this gives me great confidence, because it says that all of the people, you, me and everybody else, that the Father gives to Jesus, he will never lose and he will never drive anyone away that comes to him. Have you ever fallen out with a friend? Has that ever happened? And they don't want you to come round anymore. They don't want to talk to you. Has that ever happened to you? It hurts, doesn't it? But Jesus never does that. He never rejects you. And you know, sometimes people in the church, like you and me, we have a problem with that, because there are people that we don't think are quite nice or good enough. But Jesus doesn't give us stuff. He loves them. And he doesn't wait until they've got everything sorted out in their lives before he loves them. He loves them when they're in a mess, just like he loved you and me when we were in a mess. He didn't fix us first, did he? Well, he hasn't even finished fixing me, and I know he's not finished fixing you either, because he's still about that work, isn't he? He's making us more and more like himself. We're not perfect, but we've seen what he wants us to be like, because in his perfection is the picture of what he wants to make us into. And he's here with us, working on us all the time. Jesus is king. He is perfect, he's powerful, he's present, and that's why we worship him. And I've got some pictures here of different things that we do in worship. I just put in the word worship images, and I thought we'll just pick out a few. And in this one, you can see somebody out in the middle of a field. I like this one because Sarah and I like walking. Out in the middle of the field and just praising God for the creation. I think that's brilliant. I like the stylized picture down at the bottom corner with a cross and worshippers all around it and music rising. Obviously, some of that singing will be like mine, some will be like yours, some in tune, some off key. It doesn't matter. He just loves the noise. And then there's a picture of people actually in a worship meeting at the bottom. And then there's a picture of people being baptized. And underneath the table there, you'll notice there's a big hole. Well, you can't see it because we've got a lid on. But there's a big hole, and we baptize people. And it's about time we baptize somebody, because I'm worried it might heal up if we're not careful. But you see, baptism is part of our worship. And then at the top, I've got a picture of Jesus. I love that picture. It's a picture of Jesus at the Last Supper, where he was sharing the cup and the bread with the disciples. And we do that, don't we? We do that together in church. These are all ways that we worship him. And here's one of the ways that we can worship him. Who knows what this picture's about? Anybody? Prayer. I didn't even tell where that came from, but I heard it. Prayer. That's right. And so what we're going to do now, we're going to say a prayer together that is a prayer of worship. Okay? So I'm going to put it on screen and give you a chance to read the words. I'm going to say the words that are faint, and then we're going to say the words that are bold all together. Now, if you're here this morning and you've got the wrong specs and you can't read, or you can't read anyway, then here's a clue. Three times after what I say, we're going to say, we will worship him. So you can join in with that. And then at the last time, we're going to say, Jesus Christ is Lord. So you can join in with that. But if you can't do any of that, it doesn't matter, because the word amen, which we're going to say all together at the end, means me too. Count me in. So we can do this all together. Let's pray. Jesus is king, so we worship him. God has exalted Jesus to the highest place, so we will worship him. God has given Jesus the name that is above every name, So,
we will worship him.
At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. So,
we will worship him.
Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We confess this now.
Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen.
Amen. And Jesus, because he's perfect, he is worthy of our worship. And that means that he needs to take the first place in my heart. He needs to come before Crystal Palace. He needs to come before gardening. He needs to come before work. He needs to come before everything that might be really important and good, but isn't the king. He needs to be the first thing in my heart. He's got to be more important to me than my bank balance, than my car, my motorcycle, my hobbies, even my family and Sarah. He's got to be more important to me than all things. And we've said that we can show our worship in prayer, but another way we can show our worship is when we sing together. We sing songs of worship, don't we? And we're going to do that now. We're going to stand together and we're going to sing a song that says that Jesus is the King. Let's stand if we're able. Share a prayer together. This one is personal. So I'm going to give you a chance to see the words. Now it may be that today one of these lines is hard for you to say. And if that's the case, what I suggest you do is what I used to have to do when I was in the school choir, because my singing is not very good. So they didn't want to throw me out of the choir because that wouldn't have been a very nice thing to do. So they asked me to mime.
So you can do that. You can just mime it and pray that one day the Lord will help you in that area of your life so that you can give voice to what is at the moment silent and in hope. So the good news is that there'll be people who can say these out loud. We'll all be able to say some of them. And we'll do it together and support one another. So here we are. We're praying that Jesus would be king together. King Jesus, come and reign over my life. Reign over my heart and my emotions. Reign over my mind and my thinking and my beliefs. Reign over my will and all of my decisions. Reign over my family and all of my relationships. Reign over my work and my service for you. Reign over my money, my possessions, and my time. Amen. Amen. And now we're going to sing a song that repeats that prayer in music. Reign in me, Sovereign Lord, reign in me. We're going to pray for the offering. We sort of did it already, didn't we? Because in that prayer where we said, rule over my finances and my possessions. So we've sort of done that. But we're just going to thank God for all that he gives us and for this opportunity to give something back to show that he's our Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all that you bless us with. We thank you for the clothes we wear, the family that we're a part of, the friendships we have, the food we eat, this world that we live on. And as we give these gifts to you, we pray that you might let more people on the earth know how much you love them. We pray that more people would meet Jesus and know his love for them. We pray that your kingdom would come. Receive these gifts now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.